Welcome to It's About Florida, a weekly discussion program tackling the key issues and topics of interest to our state. I'm Tramell Gomes. A few weeks ago, a group of scientists gathered in Boca Raton, Florida, a place where they predict will be virtually uninhabitable within 250 years. That goes for most of South Florida. This was a two-day summit on sea level rise. Picture the Florida Keys being underwater in only a century. Climate change experts say the Sunshine State is one of the world's most vulnerable areas to this insidious threat of literally losing ground. I traveled to Boca Raton to find out what's happening and what's being done to stop the problem. We kick things off with Dr. Ben Strauss with the science and journalism organization Climate Central. Basically, what is this summit all about? I want to go around the room and hear from you guys. Introduce yourself. Tell me what you do, your expertise, and why is it important to get this message out to the public? Let's start with you.
I am Dr. Ben Strauss. I'm director of the program on sea level rise at Climate Central, a nonprofit science and journalism organization. We're here to talk about the risk to Florida from sea level rise. Florida holds almost half of the nation's exposure to increased coastal flooding and inundation from sea level rise.
Yeah, I'm Len Berry. I'm director of the Florida Center for Environmental Studies at FAU. And we're putting together this conference as part of a series of workshops and meetings to really address what is not a future issue. It's a current issue. That already we've had 8 inches of sea level rise. It's causing problems here in South Florida. We anticipate and project that sea level will continue to rise. There will be a continuing set of problems that we need to prepare for and adjust to.
I'm Mike Cullum. I'm the Director of Engineering at the St. Johns River Water Management District, which is in North Florida. And the South Florida folks, the four-county coalition down here that's working on sea level rise, they're viewed by the people in North Florida as the canary in the coal mine. They're on the leading edge of the issues, the leading edge of the research, and the North Florida contingent has a little bit more time, I think, and will have lessons to be learned from the South Florida folks. So that's why we're here.
All right.
Ricardo Alvarez, I'm a research associate at the Florida Center for Environmental Studies, and my focus is on potential damage to buildings and what we can do to reduce that potential through design criteria and construction methodologies. And sea level rise and storm surge, which is made worse by sea level rise, is a real threat that we are seeing right now.
I'm Rafe Pomerantz. I'm a senior fellow with Clean Air, Cool Planet. I live in Washington, D.C., and the way I see this is that after many years talking about the climate issue and the big picture, what's happening globally, I think that this conference is all about how to communicate the issue through the impacts of climate change, and in this case, it's sea level rise, which not only is a threat to the Florida coast and way of life, but to all of our coastal states in the United States. And so I see this as an important way to communicate the issue.
All right. So we have a packed house here at the summit, and I want to make sure that everyone is able to know who is speaking. So whenever I turn to you, feel free to chime in and remind us of who you are. So, Mr. Berry, why did you say that this is an issue right now?
It's an issue right now because we're beginning to see the impact of the last 50, 80 years of sea level rise. Tiny, only 8 inches. But 8 inches in South Florida is like 2 feet in lots of other places because we're so flat, our limestone under is so porous that 8 inches of sea level rise, which we already experienced, means extra flooding. It means contamination of drinking water wells with salt intrusion. And it means engineering some of our outflow canals, even at that level. So it's now.
It's now. Any proof to get our listeners to understand and feel the urgency as you guys see it now? Is the public really getting what this is about?
I would say that about half of the presentations at this meeting have featured photographs of people swimming in their driveways. Or for example, the airport at Key Largo just last month having a simple tidal event that brought water almost onto the runway. So there is very clear visual evidence at high tides. People are experiencing floods coming up through their sewer drains into their driveways. Water is getting where people haven't seen it before when the sky is blue.
It was brought home to one prominent person who doubted this was a real problem when his toilet wouldn't flush. There was no gravity.
There's a lot of, speaking of the doubt of this is a real problem, that is still clear today. Many people don't believe this is a real issue. Can someone speak to that?
For the last more than 30 years, all the climate models have projected warming as a result of changing concentration of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere. That, in turn, does two things. Warms the ocean, which increases its volume, and melts glaciers, and the water runs off into the ocean. So the prediction that there'd be sea level rise has been around for a long time. And the historic record going back thousands of years supports that view. And the big question is, how fast is it accelerating, and how fast will it accelerate in the future? And in a way, the fate of coastal areas in Florida is tied up to the rate at which Greenland and Antarctica, for lack of a better term, disintegrate, shrink, as the Arctic and Antarctic warm up.
From the standpoint of water supply, and this is Mike Cullen, from the standpoint of water supply, saltwater intrusion in Florida is going to be a major, major issue. Most of the population in Florida lives on the coast. Most of the well fields are near the coast. And there were several presentations yesterday that indicated that saltwater intrusion was already impacting well fields in South Florida. It's not just a South Florida problem. It's a North Florida problem, West Florida, Panhandle. Most of the people in Florida, except for the I-4 corridor, live near the coast.
Now, Mr. Strauss, although you're saying it's not just a South Florida problem, South Florida, as in your presentation, is leading the nation with this effort, or at least looking, or Florida as a whole.
So of about 5 million people in the United States living close to their high tide line, very low in coastal areas, 2.4 million are in Florida. And most of those are in Miami-Dade and Broward County. Between those two counties combined make up one-third of the whole nation's exposure to sea level rise at low levels. Miami-Dade County has more people living at low elevations than every single state in the United States, except for Florida and Louisiana. The same is true for Broward. And both Pinellas and Lee counties have more people living at low elevations than 17 other coastal states. So Florida really has the lion's share of this problem.
Sure. Ricardo here. I'd like to add to that. Here in Florida, we sell our beaches. We have 1,500 miles of coastline, and out of those, about 1,000 miles are sandy beaches. And of those, fully 50% are in critical condition because of losing sand due to erosion. And we try to renourish by pumping sand from offshore, and it's a losing battle. You go and talk to anyone that lives next to the beach, Hillsborough Beach, Deerfield Beach, you name it. They are really worried. And the question they're asking, can we continue to defend by way of pumping sand? Is it defendable? How long can we be here? I heard these questions already, so it is happening now.
Well, how fast? What's the rate of the sea level rise? What are we talking about here? Is this something that can be seen from, you're hearing it now, is this something that we can see from year to year, the average citizen, or what's the rate so we can wrap our head around this
issue?
Well,
I would tell you that you can see it with every high tide and full moon at the same time. You see it if you've been here for a few years. You've seen the water getting higher than ever before. With every hurricane that brings storm surge, you're going to see that rise already built into this. Water getting closer to your house, maybe eroding the roadways already. So if you pay attention and you remember just a few years back, you see the difference already.
I'd answer it in a different way. I think,
Mr. Berry,
for the average person, on a year-to-year basis, you don't see it. On a decade-to-decade basis, you see it. And then when there's, as Ricardo says, when there's an extreme event, when you have a high tide, when you have a storm, then the impact of that is multiplied by the fact that the water is a few inches higher than it was the last time you had a big storm.
So what's being done about this? What is Florida doing differently? What are we building differently? Is there enough being done?
Ricardo here. Unfortunately, we are not doing that much in terms of construction and design. The building code that we have in Florida, we have a Florida building code, and we have a section of that which is called the high velocity hurricane zone, and that includes Broward County, Miami-Dade. It's very strong regarding wind, so we have improved the codes and we build better to protect from wind. But water, which is 800 times denser than wind, so the impact of water is much higher. The code doesn't address that. And if the building profession goes by the code like they have to by law, what they are doing is building better buildings to take to resist wind, but sea level rise, storm surge, coastal flooding, nothing yet. So we need to concentrate on that and change that.
Who is it left up to act on this?
Well, one thing I will say from a national perspective is that in South Florida, the South Florida Regional Climate Change Compact is one of the leaders nationwide in starting to look at the problem of sea level rise and developing a plan. Four counties have banded together, Monroe, Miami-Dade, Broward, and Palm Beach, to basically share the same sea level rise projections and try to together develop a set of strategies for addressing the problem. So I think it's more in the planning and strategy development stage than implementation stage, but there is some attention being paid here really in the bullseye of the threat.
Thanks for that, Mr. Strauss. And
sorry.
Go ahead, Mr. Barron.
And what's remarkable about that attention is it's not politically skewed. I think it's bipartisan. It's the county commissioners are involved, and it is really an issue that is above politics because it's a problem that affects everybody in this region.
I want to challenge that. Is it you're seeing this bipartisan effort more so on the local level, or are you seeing it all around, the state level, national level?
I was only talking at the local level.
Hopefully, what's going on here locally in a bipartisan way can be repeated at the state and national level. That's the only way we will get significant amount of change. You could divide this into two futures. There's the one in which the United States and the rest of the world simply allow the warming to trigger the maximum amount of sea level over time. And it doesn't stop. It just keeps accelerating. The other future is where not only do local governments and state governments do the best job possible at adapting to it, becoming resilient, but that the United States leads the world in it to reduce the rate of emissions buildup, change in concentration, because we can, as a society, affect the rate of warming over coming years and decades. What the future of Florida is depends on the rate of warming to some degree, or to a big degree, particularly the further out you get. So that's a policy choice at the same time as we discuss the impacts and what to do about them.
You're listening to It's About Florida. I'm Tramell Gomes, broadcasting from the June 22nd Sea Level Rise Summit in Boca Raton.
Why do we continue to do certain types of buildings and mitigation knowing what's inevitable? So, Mr. Alvarez, why should we continue to, with our efforts to build certain things and make some, like, you know, wetlands here, over there, when most of it is going to be underwater?
Well, it's called survival. Our way of life is at stake here. And what choice do we have? You either drown or you swim. You protect. And that's what we're doing. I'd like to expand on the compact idea. The compact idea started with four counties, but it's right now expanding north, and that is going to be three more counties, seven counties, looking at 50 years from now, where do they need to be and what do they need to start doing right now? I think what we're seeing, which is positive, is that, yes, emissions are the main contributor to this, but at the same time, we have in our hands the capacity to start taking measures and trying to adapt our buildings to what is happening. So while we reduce emissions and we see the results of that maybe 100, 200 years, 500 years hence, right now as the sea continues to rise and we're seeing the effects, we need to defend right now. No question about it.
Mrs. Strauss.
You asked, why are we going forward when we know about this problem? With new construction and low-lying areas. And I think one part of the answer is a lot of people don't know about it. One of the purposes of this meeting is to help increase that awareness and education. This has been the province, really, of scientists, planners, technical people, and one real interest we have is in sharing the information much more broadly with the public. So, for example, there's now a tool people can go to, a website, surgingseas.org, and type in their own zip code to see the risk in their neighborhood and look at different inundation levels and timelines of risk of flooding from sea level rise combined with storm surge.
Doesn't that include some sort of a calculator?
Yes, we also have a calculator at surgingseas.org/calculator, which allows people to make to get a personal lifetime projection of sea level rise that might be expected in their lifetime where they live under either high, low, or medium greenhouse gas emission scenarios.
A five-year-old could, if they could do the calculator, they would have a very different future than somebody who's my age, say 65, because a five-year-old having a long lifetime ahead, 80 years, 90 years, the amount of sea level rise they would experience, I guess, under this calculator, right? That's the way it would work. So they would have a bigger number.
There's also a lot of research being done right now at the various universities. FAU is in the lead for this conference. However, the University of Central Florida, some of their information was presented. University of Florida has a water supply utilities working group that is evaluating the effects of sea level rise on the utilities around the state of Florida. So once the universities come up with conclusive evidence and projections of where we're going with this, then the next step in the process is for organizations like the water management districts that are responsible and the DEP that's responsible for the water and getting the water right statewide, then they would institute programs based on that research, the results of that research, to help protect the water supplies of the state of Florida.
Dr. Berry.
Breaking news. Just before this meeting started, a number of university representatives, UF, FSU, Central Florida, South Florida, FAU, and the University of Miami met to begin to form a consortium of universities to coordinate research and to deal with this issue on a statewide basis. And we're going to move forward with that and invite other universities to join us so it doesn't become a competitive business, it becomes a cooperative business. And we all recognize that this is a major Florida problem, and the university talent around the state put together can begin to address some of the information issues and some other research issues. And we're all working together on that.
I understand that may still be formulating as it's coming out now. So what is that looking like so far? Give us an idea of how it will be done with these universities collaborating.
The universities have agreed to work together on obtaining funding at national, state, and local levels, that they will work across universities. So if I have a research grant and FSU has the best postdoctoral or doctoral student, we make it easy for them to work together for us. We will look at annual research meetings. We haven't bylaws yet, but we've agreed that we will make it simple and make it focused not on esoteric research, though we need some of that, but on practical applied research, working with the agencies and with the water management districts within the state and outside the state.
Getting this information to the public, the challenge, I guess, to everyone here, you guys are the experts, you guys know it, it's the person who's walking by this hotel who is totally unaware of what this is about and why should they care about this right now? I'd like to hear from all of you.
This is a fundamental issue about the future of Florida and the rest of the coastal world, really. This affects not just Florida, but the entire planet. This is a global phenomenon. Why should people care? Well, it's in their backyards. As Len mentioned, we're seeing flooding, saltwater intrusion, and the canal system being undermined by this, and the future projections are not good. So people need to know. They need to deal with it at the local level to prepare. And they need to help encourage their leaders to act to deal with the risk.
All right, Mr. Rafe Pomerantz. Mr. Ricardo Alvarez.
I think what we are seeing now is a change. Where before we were emphasizing, trying to communicate the science and the uncertainties about the science methods and all of that. Now is a time where we're trying to communicate the impacts and the solutions, what people can do. So instead of presenting a doomsday scenario, something that is inevitable, like you said, and everybody's going to drown, we can actually inform people about what will happen in their neighborhood, in their home, and what is it that they can do. So this I believe, will empower them to start looking at this more seriously and also to listen more to people such as ourselves that will present not only the science, but the practical solutions that they can start applying now.
And what is it that they can do?
Well, number one, be aware of the impacts. That's number one. What does it mean, 1 foot of water or 8 inches of water in terms of damage to their house, ability to drive to work, things like that? If you have an extreme rain event or a high tide or surge, what does it mean to them? And by telling them that, and at the same time presenting options. How do you protect your house against that? In a practical way, I think they will begin to see, number one, this is real, it's happening now, but there are solutions, and we can help with that.
This is Ben Strauss. You know, the effect, sea level is already rising, and its effects are already evident for those watching closely in Florida. Later on this century, maybe as soon as one or two decades from now, and certainly by the middle of the century, this problem will become obvious to everyone. It's an accelerating problem. At some point, everyone's going to know. The sooner we know, as a society, and the sooner we know as individuals, the better shape we'll be in to do something about it. Large parts of this are inevitable, so the sooner we can prepare, the better situated we'll be. And I guess if people want to make the best decisions for themselves and their communities, they have a choice whether to learn about it now and get informed or wait until the whole world knows and it's staring them right in the face. But this is an existential issue for Florida. There are profound effects and changes afoot. It's more a matter of when and how fast. It's not a matter of if.
And the proof you have that this will be coming in the timeline you set?
Well, we've seen 8 inches of sea level rise globally already over the last century. We see that accelerating. We see it accelerating across much of the eastern seaboard. All of the major, independent scientific projections point to much more acceleration this century. We're currently changing our atmosphere faster than any time in the last 300 million years. That is, since before the dinosaurs, the amount of carbon in the atmosphere has never gone up so fast. And what makes a bullet dangerous is not so much its size or shape, but how fast it moves. We could live very well with a different coastline in Florida. We could live very well with a much warmer climate or a very different climate. And the planet has thrived under very different conditions many times in the past. But what's important is right now we are changing things so very fast, it will be hard to adapt.
So, Dr. Berry, bringing this all together, final thoughts on basically getting the public to get engaged and be aware of this issue.
Well, we're doing three things, I think, both here at FAU, but also collectively across the university system. Here we are working very actively on developing curriculum for K through 12, so that engaging teachers in that process so that they can incorporate some of these issues in their regular schedule and within state guidelines. University-wide, we are looking at courses that students can take, and our consortium of universities is discussing web-based courses that we can deliver as a university system so that anybody from Florida State or from UF or from FAU can get the same course online and get credits for their particular university. That's the long-term process of dealing with education, and we're engaged in that. From meetings like this and broadcasts like this is a shorter-term effort at getting messages out to the general public, and we will continue to do that. We have a program that addresses the business community through our College of Business. It's not strong enough, it's not funded well enough, and it's not, in my opinion, quite long enough. But we are beginning to work with industry and business to engage them in this way. We're just beginning, but we started.
Well, thank you all for taking time out of your schedule to meet with me and sit here and talk about this issue here on It's About Florida. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Special thanks to our guests, Ben Strauss with Climate Central, Lynn Berry and Ricardo Alvarez with Florida Atlantic University, Mike Cullum with the St. John's River Water Management District, and Rafe Pomerantz with Clean Air Cool Planet. You've been listening to It's About Florida, a production of WFSU-FM. Our producer is Lynn Hatter with technical assistance provided by Ken Smith. Please join us again next week for more discussions about the issues impacting our state. I'm Tramell Gomes.